You can take your Bibles, please, this evening. Turn to Hosea chapter 8. Hosea 8, we looked at verses 1 through 4 last time. We're going to read them again tonight. And then we're going to go on in the passage. Hosea chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1, I'd like to read. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also. The workmen made it. Therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. Have you ever expected to get something from something you have done, but what you received was maybe the opposite of what you were expecting or looking for? I'm sure at one time or another, something like that has probably happened to all of us. And here, Israel was expecting to get something, but they went about the wrong way doing it, and they got something different than what they were expecting to receive. You know, the fact is, God had laid out in His Word how the nation of Israel was to operate. He gave them His laws. He gave them His ordinances. But yet, Israel refused to walk in God's law. They chose to go their own way. They chose to do their own thing. And exactly what God said would happen came upon them. You know, it is the same way for us today. We can choose to go our own direction. We can choose to do our own thing and think that we're going to get what we want from it. But many times, the end, what we really desire, our expectations will not be met. Notice in verse number 5, it says, Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Now, what did they do in verse... It's the same word here that was used in verse number 3, and the Lord here is drawing attention to what they had done. Notice verse 3 where it says, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. So Israel cast that which was good out of their lives. They took God out of their lives. They set up their own authorities. They set up their own idols to worship. And now God says that which they have set up has cast them off. It has failed them. You know, we may want to not go God's way, but that thing which we choose to replace God in our lives is going to fail us. It is going to cast us off. You know, Jesus Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, but that which we choose instead of Christ will fail us. It will cast us off. You know, Israel didn't get what they were expecting. They thought they could do this. They thought they could feed their flesh. They thought they could set up their own authorities in their life. And God says, you know what? Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. This calf, this idol that they had set up to worship instead of going down to Jerusalem and worshiping in the way that God had prescribed, was going to fail them. It was going to be vain. It was going to be empty. And what they were expecting to get was not what they were going to receive. You know, you think of all the promises that Jesus Christ has given for those that will follow him. You know, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You know, let not your heart be troubled. You know, neither let it be afraid. You know, if ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, we could go throughout the Word of God. You know, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, you think of other verses throughout Scripture. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. It states, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength. You know, over and over, we could go through many different promises in the Word of God that God has laid up for those that will follow him and for those that will trust him. And you think of how many promises does the devil give out? And how many does he keep? You know, what is the devil? He is the father of all lies. He is the great deceiver. And those that will fall for his lies are going to have a rude awakening when the devil casts them off and laughs at them for choosing to follow his ways. And here in this passage, we find that God tells them, My calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. That you have chosen to cast me aside, the one who has promised to be with you, the one who has promised to defeat your enemies, the one who has promised to provide for your needs, the one who has promised salvation, for this calf who can't promise you anything. In fact, it is something that you have fashioned of your own hands, and it will fail you. You know, how many promises does Satan make? Well, he may make a lot of promises, but none of them that are good can be kept. You know, he's not going to sit there and say, I promise to destroy your life. You know, how many people are going to go after him? You know, I promise to ruin your family. Come follow me. You know, ruin your life. No, he paints a picture. He's an angel. He makes himself look like an angel of light and his ministers as angels of light to deceive and to destroy. You know, but yet God has given us many promises that if we will follow him, he will take care of us. So notice it says, Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Now notice what God says, Mine anger is kindled against them. How many of us want God's anger to be kindled against us? Do we understand the greatness of God? If we could turn over to Nahum chapter 1, just to read a little bit about the anger of God. Now, if you have God's anger against you, you have definitely done some wrong things, because the Bible states that God is slow to anger. Notice what it says in Nahum 1 verse 2. We'll read up through like verse 9. It says, God is jealous. Sorry, I'll wait a little bit. It's still in the Minor Prophets, so you don't have to turn too many pages. Nahum 1 verse 2. It says, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. You know, we think of dust as a what? A very small thing. You know, it takes what? A lot of dust, you know, collecting on a thing. I mean, dust particles real small. Well, it says what? The clouds. You know, we look at a cloud. Boy, they're big. Are the what? The dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. You know, think of that. Rebuked the sea and it's dry. You think of the Red Sea, parted it. It was dry ground. The Jordan River parted its dry ground. And drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. You think of Mount Sinai when God came down and gave the Ten Commandments and fire came down and smoke. And what was the response of the people? They were afraid. It says, who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. You know, so you read all about the fierceness of God's anger, but right there in verse 7, the Lord is what? Good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. You know, could you ask yourself the question tonight? You know, does God know that I trust in him? You know, if God were to look down upon your heart tonight, does he know that you trust in him? You know, you can hide it from your pastor. You can hide it, young person, from maybe your parents. But God knows who you are trusting him. You know, and after reading these verses of God's anger and what it can do to those who are his enemies, and really, what does it make out to be? Those that are trusting in him, and then there's those that are what? His enemies. So either you are trusting in God or you are working what? Against God. You know, tonight, where is your trust? Where is your confidence? Israel placed their confidence in this calf that they had made. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Here's this calf that they fashioned, they made with their own hands, and that is what they're putting their confidence in. Turning from the God of heaven, the one in which their ancestors stood at Mount Sinai and saw his greatness. And yet they are turning from him for something that they fashioned. You know, in fact, when Moses went up, they even made a calf. You know, but the thing is, what do we make? What do we put in place of God in our lives? What are we trusting in? What are we putting our confidence in tonight? Then notice the next verse there in Hosea. It says, mine anger is kindled against them. So God's here, anger is coming down upon them. And here's the question. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency, till they are cleared, till their sin is taken away, till they repent and turn to God? God's anger is coming upon them. He's been trying to get their attention. How long is it going to be till they attain to innocency? How long is it going to be till they are cleared of their sin? Now, how long does it take before we turn to God? What does God have to do in our lives before we will turn to Him? Israel's heart had become hardened. And God was doing so much, but yet they saw so little of what He was doing to them as a nation. Verse 6, "For from Israel was it also. The workmen made it." Here's the sad part about this golden calf is that this was something that arose from their ranks. Something they had fashioned. This was their idol that they had created. You know, sometimes parents want to send their kids off somewhere else. You know, boy, maybe this place, maybe this will help them. And, you know, many times it can help them. But, you know, you can get a young person and you can get them in a good environment, a good school, or maybe they can work at a good place. Maybe they can go to a good college. And what happens many times? Well, what do they take with them? Their sinful heart and their own wicked heart with them. And they find out that this sin that their young person is committing, you know, is right in with right from within them. You know, Israel, you know, this wasn't necessarily something from some outside nation that was forced upon them. Unfortunately, this sin was coming from within their own ranks. "For from Israel was it also. The workmen made it. Therefore, it is not God." You know, we can set up whatever we want in our lives in place of God. We can try to make some other authority in our lives. But the fact is, if it's something we've set up, if it's something we've made, if it's something man-made, it's not God. You know, and it's pretty simple logic here, but it was something they made, therefore, it's not what? It's not God. It's not going to stand. You know, there's plenty of things that men are trying to set up in this society for people to go after, for people to worship. But you know what? If man made it, it's not God. And it's not going to last. Notice what God says. It's man-made, therefore it is not God, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. You know, this authority, this idol that they had set up in their lives, what was going to happen to it? It's going to be shattered. Going to be gone. That thing that they had trusted in was going to fail them, was going to bring misery to their lives. And not only that, but the very thing itself was going to be shattered, was going to be broken, and nothing was going to be left. You know, what have we put in place of God in our lives? Not only is it going to fail us, but we're going to get to the end of our lives, and that very thing we had put our trust in is going to be gone. And there is nothing that is going to be left worthwhile in our lives because we turned from the only one that can bring anything that is worthwhile to our lives. And this calf that Israel had set up really for pragmatic reasons, because you know, Jeroboam didn't want them to go down to Jerusalem where God said to worship, because then maybe the people would want to turn back to Jerusalem and join back up with Judah. You know, we can make up reasons, and maybe they seem like they're going to work, but if it's something that God has commanded us not to do, it's going to provide us with emptiness. It's going to be broken in pieces. You know, what plans tonight are you devising in your family? Is it God's way? Or is it your way? If it's your way, it's going to be brought It's going to be vain. It's going to let you down. It's going to be broken in pieces. Notice verse 7. You know, we can, in verse 7 here, we can do whatever we want, so to speak. But the fact is, God's laws are still in operation no matter what we choose to do. Verse 7, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Notice here, they've sown the wind. They have sown their seeds of sin. And what is going to be produced? Well, God says the whirlwind is going to come up. All right, and I believe it's even intensified here in the Hebrew. It's something mighty and powerful. Here's something they've sown. They've been in control of, so to speak, the seeds that they have sown. But now what are they reaping? Something that now is in control of them. The whirlwind has come upon them. You know, what seeds are you sowing in your life tonight? The fact is, whatever you're sowing is going to come back upon you. God has set up laws by which His universe runs by. And it's going to come back upon us. You know, and if we have sown the wrong seeds in our life, and maybe we're starting to reap the whirlwind because of what we have sown, well, it's time for us to what? To come before God and to seek His mercy. Because He is the only one that can change the outcome of what is coming upon us. We can't change it. It's only God and it's only His mercy that can do anything about the problems that we are facing. And we've got to come to the point where we realize it's not God, but it's we are the problem. We're the ones that sowed the seeds. It was our choice. And now when things have gotten out of control and we don't know what to do, the whirlwind is coming upon us. You know, we had that tornado kind of coming through the other day, and maybe you were listening to the radio and you know that their tornado's coming. Well, what are you going to do? That tornado comes across the pathway of your house. Is there anything you can do to stop it? You know, get your whole family out there. We're going to blow, you know, try to get it to go somewhere else. You know, maybe get your, you know, maybe you got a big heavy duty air compressor, you know, and you're going to get that air compressor and you're going to blow as hard as you can to get that to come somewhere else. I mean, you could get 50 air compressors out there and try to do something. You know, the fact is, when there's a whirlwind, when there's a tornado coming through, you better get out of its way. You know, you better get down to the basement, because that is a powerful object. And you know what? Tonight, you have, through God's help, the ability to stop the whirlwind from coming and destroying your family. But you know what? The fact is, it starts with the seeds that you are sowing. You know, and what are you sowing? You know, and you might look in your family, boy, there's some things happening I don't like. Well, you know what? You better go before God and cry out for His mercy. And cry out for His help. And begin sowing the right kind of seeds. Because if we sow the wrong kind of seeds, as we'll see here, it's not going to produce anything. The only thing that's going to come is destruction. That's right. You know, Israel, God is giving them, over and over, giving them more chances. But the seeds of iniquity have been sown. And the harvest of destruction was on its way. It says here, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. You know, Galatians chapter 6. We sow to the flesh, we're going to reap what? Reap corruption. You know, what are you sowing to? Are you sowing to the flesh, or are you sowing to the Spirit? Are you walking in obedience to the Spirit by walking in obedience to the Word of God? What do you want to reap? You're going to reap something. You know, you can't just sow a seed and expect something else to come out. Up. Whatever you sowed is going to come up, and it's going to produce a greater amount than what you sowed. I mean, it's just the common laws that God has set into place. It happens physically. It happens spiritually. And folks, if we can grab a hold of that principle in our lives and recognize that we are sowing something, and whatever we are sowing, we are going to reap in a greater quantity than what we have sown. We can either sow seeds of destruction, seeds of iniquity that are going to reap destruction, or we can sow seeds of life that are going to be multiplied when the harvest of God comes in. So it says here, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, nothing to it. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." Nothing good is going to come out of it when God is not in control. Verse 8. Israel is swallowed up. Doesn't sound like a very good outcome. You know, they had cast off, remember verse 3, "Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him." Notice verse 8 now. "Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure." You know, notice that. They're trying to get... really look in the eyes of those around them as something great. They're trying to, you know, make their nation look good. And you sometimes you look at Christian teens that are trying to fit in with the world. And you look at it, it's just like, oh, what a terrible life to have to live. You know, you're trying to fit in with the world and you're trying, you know, they started adopting the world styles and stuff. And I just saw something recently, and it's just like, boy. You know, they chose to reject God, you know, and they want to be independent. And now, really, they're less independent because now they got to fit in with a lot more people. If they were independent, they live for God. Because that's a lot fewer people that are living for God than are living for the world. But, you know, you're going to follow someone. And here, the children of Israel chose to follow the world, chose to follow that which might, maybe they thought would make them look good in the eyes of those that are around them. And what did it accomplish? Well, what does verse 8 say? "Now shall they be among the Gentiles, those that they went after, as a vessel wherein is no pleasure." You know, how many of you ever... once in a while, you'll maybe see something going on the road, maybe something like my minivan or something, my rust bucket or something. You know, you've probably all seen some car going down the road. I mean, rust all over it, holes in it. You know, maybe the muffler's tied up with a coat hanger. And you can't even hardly tell what color the car is because there's so much rust on it. Maybe it's kind of loud. And, you know, you see that vehicle and you're thinking, boy, man, I would just love to own that vehicle, have it sitting in my driveway. You know, you can just imagine the owner of that vehicle probably parks in his driveway, washes it every day, gives it a wax. Well, no! There's no pleasure in that. I mean, it's just, you don't even want to look at it. You know, a vessel wherein is no pleasure. And this is what Israel had done. You know, sin had eaten away at it. The rust has just kind of eaten anything away that was desirable in it as they took on the world and its philosophies and its actions. And you know, Christian teenager, mom and dad, young person, you know, we can look out there and there can be things and the devil's saying, boy, you want this. Look what it's going to do. And your flesh saying, yeah, that's what I want. And God's saying, you know what? You follow that, and you are going to be a vessel wherein there is no pleasure. There's nothing desirable left. Why? Verse 3. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. You know, you set aside in your life that which is good. And guess what's going to come? Something that is bad. I know that's big logic. You know, I mean, I guess I took logic in college. That's why I can say something like that. You know, you get rid of that which is good, and you're going to get something bad. But you know what? Sometimes as Christians, we fail logic 101. And we don't even realize it. We forget about it. You know, we get rid of that which is good in our lives. Yeah, maybe it requires some submission to follow that which is good. Yeah, it may require some hardship sometimes. But guess what's going to happen? We get rid of that which is good, and our lives are going to be something wherein there is no pleasure. We're going to be looked upon. We're going to get to the end of our lives, and it's going to be disgraceful what we turn out to be. You know, I wonder this evening, what are you sowing to? What kind of seeds are you sowing in your life? You know, are you beginning to reap the seeds that have been sown? You know, do you sense the judgment of God coming upon you? You know, there is hope. You know, what did God want them to do? You know, God wanted them to turn. Hosea 12, verse 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Hosea 14, 1 and verse 2. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. There's got to be a humbling of yourself, an admittance of what has gone on. And it says, and receive us graciously. Something we do not deserve. But Lord, receive us. So will we render the calves of our lips. Are you willing to come to God this evening? Are you willing to humble yourself? God has given the warning call. What are we going to do? God's laws don't change. You know, we can make our choices, but God's laws don't change. And He has already predicted and said the outcome. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that You have given us an expected end. Lord, we don't have to wonder what's going to happen if we do what is right. Lord, it says in the Word of God that You have never suffered or allowed the righteous to go hungry or to lack bread. And Lord, tonight, You have given us an expected end if we will follow You completely. Lord, we realize tonight that Satan throws his bait in front of us. And Lord, it is so easy for us to go for it and to be hooked by it. And Lord, I pray tonight that as believers, we would be reminded of the fact, Lord, that You have created laws in which things run. And Lord, we can sow seeds in our lives, but they are going to reap. We are going to reap what we have sown. Lord, may You work in our hearts this evening. May each one of us examine what we are sowing right now, because we're going to reap it. Lord, we are reminded of your mercy and grace. Lord, that you are slow to anger. Lord, may you, in your mercy and grace, work in our hearts as we would humbly come before you, admitting our need that we have. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight,